I thank the Lord this morning for every time He's answered prayer. He is a God that hears our cries and He knows our hearts. You know, we, in the ministers' meeting, we heard some of the battles of the ministers, and it was an encouragement because I have those same battles. But we sometimes want to preach or give something that we think would be good or right. And the Spirit of the Lord knows our needs. So this morning I desire that the Lord will give you something that you can carry home with you today. Last Sunday we spoke about our calling. Our calling is to the saints, to the people of God. I gave the foundational scripture that has burdened my heart ever since He called me to the ministry, and that is to warn the righteous that they sin not. And I know that probably there are a lot of messages on Church of God preaching that would come under that category of warning, and I hope we don't get tired of that, because we need to be constantly aware, and we need not be deceived or blind. So this morning I want to just begin with some thoughts concerning our creation and how that God created man in really the highest form of the creatures of the earth. He did not make the animals equal to man. Man was the only created beings that was like God. He said, I want to create man in our own image. Now, according to the word of the Lord, no man has seen God and lived. Moses, I believe, saw God's backside and lived. I believe Jacob also wrestled with God and lived. He held on for the blessing. But God is the highest and the most supreme being of the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And yet He is mindful of you and me. And when He began to create all that we know, He spoke into existence, all the day, night, earth, water, herbs and trees, and all of that, he just simply spoke it. But when it came to man, He took the dust of the earth and He formed man. And I'm glad that we are in His image, aren't you? It lets us know a little bit about how God may look when we do behold Him, maybe. I don't know exactly what He will look like, but according to the word of the Lord, He has eyes and He has ears. He hears. He has a mouth. He speaks. He has a nose. The scripture says that He smells. He has hands and he has feet. So we look at each other and we see a form that has been, God has used it ever since the beginning when he created Adam. I think all mankind has had these features. And I'm thinking of a scripture that David said in Psalms 139. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, marvelous are thy works. And I wonder sometimes if we don't just sort of forget the marvel of his creation. And those that study the human body, and I think Paul has been one that studied the human body, and maybe he could tell us things that would astound us about how God really formed man. For instance, the brain, there's so much about the brain that my brain can't take it in. And so God, in his great, I want to magnify this, but I don't know that I know how. But I do think we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And David said in this, that my soul knoweth right well, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought. So I do think that when we at times hear something about the creation of the human body or the intricate parts of the human body, we do marvel. We think about it and it just becomes significant for us to think about a little bit. So God did create man as the highest form. We're not like the animals. One thing that sets us apart from the animals is we have an eternal soul that will live on for all eternity. The animals do not have that. We have a mind. Well, let me back up. We have a mortal body. And we all know what the scripture says, that we will go back to dust. And God has a mind, and he gave us a mind that we can think with, reason with. But another thing, he gave us a will that we could choose, make choices. We have freedom to decide what I want to do with my life. I have freedom to choose whether I want to live for God or if I don't want to. Not only does he give us that freedom, but he gives to man emotions. We're not going to talk about each and every one of these things, but it's just to awaken us that God created us this way. We have emotions, we have feelings. We were able, most of the time, some people have difficulty crying, shedding tears, but God created us to be able to weep. It's part of a release to our emotions. And even as the word of the Lord speaks about our relationship with each other. He says, weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. And that's part of our humanity. And we can be touched with each other's sorrow and grief, but God is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the scripture says. So we have emotions and feelings, and we're affected as a human being. We're not here without feelings. Then I want to mention what I read, because it's hard to really divide the soul and the spirit. And one writer said that this soul and the spirit of man are often interchangeable. And yet, did you know God can divide the soul and the spirit? That's how he's able to know the difference. Another thing that I read about the soul and the spirit is that it seems that the soul is intertwined with the mind and the heart and all that is man. Well, we can't really see the soul, and we really can't see. We can maybe see the result of our spirit, but the soul is that part of the inner man that we don't really see visibly, and yet it's there. And it is, the soul is so affected by our mind. I wanted to leave with us this morning some scriptures that tells us how superior God is. I think that we need to think about how superior he is. There's a scripture that says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And then this is from Isaiah 55. It says that the Lord said that. And he said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You've heard that scripture all your life. But I think that this morning we want to recognize how God is so far above us. One scripture says he condescends to men of low estate. We are really of low estate compared to God. Now, even though he created us to be superior in the world of those things created, the scripture also says that we are lower than the angels. So we're somewhere in between. Here's God, and here's the angels, and here's man, and here's the animal world, and we're responsible beings. God made us responsible beings when he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life and they became a living soul. Then that made us different. And so then another scripture says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, that one that is superior, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. Now we may seek to understand him, and we may cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, please help me to understand something about you. Help me to understand your will. Isn't that something that we seek for in our own walk? To know the will of the Lord, to know the mind of the Lord, to understand what he desires and why he might put these things in our life, give us reason and purpose. It's okay to ask him for these things, but ultimately it says we really can't search out fully and understand the mind of God. Another scripture, 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, it says, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? You know, sometimes we may presume, and in our prayers we may know what we think we ought to pray for. The scripture says, and we had it in a message not very long ago, that we really don't know how to pray. And yet God provides for us when we don't know how to pray. He's provided the Holy Spirit that makes groanings and utterings for us when we run out of those words. Remember that scripture? The last part of that 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. You know, Christ came to seek and to save those that are lost, and that was you and me. And the plan was that he would provide a way, but he also wants us to know his mind, that his mind can be our mind. But we have to seek for it. It's not something that's just poured out on us just because it says it right here. It's going to be to the seeking soul and to the one that is searching. And he said, if you seek for me with your whole heart, you shall be found. You shall find me. And we've got to understand how important it is that we have a seeking heart for those things that are above. Seek those things that are above and not the things of the earth. We're earthly beings, and we have great tendencies to seek for the things of the earth. But he's wanting you and me to seek for eternal, heavenly things, things that are above. And another scripture that the Lord brought to my mind was Hebrews 4 and 12 and 13. And it's familiar to us. It says, the word of the Lord is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Oh, God is supreme and all-powerful and all-knowing, and there's words that represent those attributes and characteristics of God. But he also says, he knows my down-sitting and my uprising, and he understands my thoughts afar off. And then he turns around and he says, or David said this, but you can say it and you need to say it, my soul is always in my hands. That's where God makes a difference in the creation of man. He lets you take full responsibility for your soul. You know, there are people that say, I just cannot believe that God would send anyone to hell. Have you ever heard that statement? God doesn't. He allows us to choose. And how many times have we heard the scripture? I believe we had it in Sunday school again this morning. Behold, I set before you life and death. And then he exhorts us to choose life. So your soul is in your hands, and my soul is in my hands, and it's up to me what I do with my soul. So our title this morning, if we should have one, is Spiritual Action and Reactions. And I want to, by the help of the Lord, and I'm not going to pretend or presume that I know everything about this. It's just some thoughts that came to me this week, and I trust that the Lord will help us to say something that will speak to each one of us. So I want to speak about the link between the mind and the soul. And we've already made this statement, and we're going to make it again, that it seems that the soul is intertwined with the mind and the heart and all that man is. It's affected by our mind. Your soul is in your hands, but your mind is also. I want to address some prophecy before we go on, because to me it speaks of our time that we're living in. And because time and the our society and all that is in the world, when we're born as little infants, we grow up adjusting, maybe I should say, or could say, to what is in the world. Now, I have felt, and probably others too, especially us that are older, that if our grandparents could come back into our world today, do you think they would adjust to it? No, I don't think they could adjust to it. I think they would be shocked at the what is in our world and our society today. And yet, it all happened so gradually that we've just accepted it. And, some of us can be maybe shocked at times. And I think I've said this in a message not very long ago, that we might even say to ourselves, I wonder if I'll ever be shocked again. Have you ever said that to yourself? Something happened, something come on the news, information about what's happening in the world, and you're shocked. And then you say, I wonder if I'll ever be shocked again. I've said that different times, and it's happened different times, and it continues to happen. So I can't find some level there and choose to just live in that space and that's where my mind will always be. Ever, things are ever happening to affect our minds because we're flesh. But I want to give you this prophecy from Daniel. I'm not going to give a lot. But Daniel has some prophecies of the end that should awaken us and help us to recognize. Oh, Daniel, this is Daniel 12 and 4. Shut up the words. Now, the prophecy has been given, and he's uttered the prophecies that he was allowed to speak to or write. And then it came to a point, and the Spirit of God said, shut it up. Shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And then this is what he said, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And verse 8 says, I heard, but I understood not, Daniel speaking, and then said I, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And verse 9 says, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of time. So what in that verse should we maybe take note of? I think we should take note of the phrase that says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You know, it doesn't take a lot for us to remember how things were in our youth 70 years ago. 70 years ago, I would have been 9 years old, going to grade school, learning all that they had to teach us in school. And you know, looking back, it was a simple time of life. Morality was not what it is today. And we have lived in this world, and morality has permeated shocking things have come into our world, and we have had to process that in our minds. He says that the knowledge that shall increase, and then I believe there was another scripture that says, this is Amos 8 and 11, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'm going to send something into the earth," and you know what it will be? It will be a famine of hearing the word of God. People will be seeking after the knowledge of the world, but not seeking so much for the knowledge of God. And that should be a warning to us, because we are in that kind of time. He said that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And that's been a gradual thing too. It's just come on so subtly, and I don't want to give a negative report, but several of us were talking about almost 70 years ago, or not quite. We spoke about some different congregations that there was standing room only in the building. One of those was Pacoima in California. I was there when I was about 16, and there was no place to sit in that chapel, and it's a big chapel. And we spoke of some other places that it was the same. This chapel was once full, and something happened to it. So people are not as hungry and thirsting for the things of God as they once did. And you have to discipline yourself. If you are a child of God this morning, if you don't maintain that, if you don't seek after that with all of your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, you'll lose it. Something happens. So now we recognize we're in a time that men and women are running to and fro, and they're seeking knowledge. Knowledge has increased, but not the right kind of knowledge. It has affected their thinking and their judgments and their choices. And then God gives the warning that in these days that there will be a famine of hearing the word of God. So I'm going to ask the question, has anybody had a battle of your mind? Do you know what a battle of the mind is? We're not prone to come to prayer meeting and get up and say, "Oh, I have had a battle of my mind this week." We don't generally say that. We sort of keep that inside. But that's where our battles are, is in the mind. And it affects the soul. That's just how we're created. So I'm going to read to you what I read about the mind. This is what happens in the mind. And let me say here, as we read it, or as we have even said what we have said, if you haven't disciplined your mind, it can go somewhere else right now. So we have to draw our mind in. We have to control our mind. And God gives us that ability, and He gives us that power. And you've heard me say that when I was working here in the school with the children, I had my desk where I could see those children, and I knew when their mind was somewhere else. And so I would look at them, and I would call their name, and I would say, "Draw your mind in." And they have said that they'll remember me by those words. I hope that you will remember to draw your own mind in. Lots of things out there that we can think about. Tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? Well, you intend to go to work. You have plans on your job or in your life or whatever. And maybe you think you'll be able to do all of that. And we generally do. Time goes on. But we know not what another day will bring forth, the scripture says. So as we read this, it's not, oh, it's just going to be some plain information about the mind that you know about it. But draw your mind in anyway. The mind is where all human thoughts and feelings and behaviors are rooted, where a complex network of cells receives information from the internal and external environment, transforming information into our experiences of ourselves. It transforms the world around us, and it transforms our relationships with others and the world. The mind thinks, and it imagines, and it remembers, and it has a will, and it senses and experiences perceptions, pleasure, pain, belief, or desire, or intentions and emotions. This is who we are. We don't just consciously go around saying, well, I am perceiving my pleasure or the pain or my... We don't go around consciously thinking of what the mind does. And remember, we have gradually come to this place in our mind. The mind controls and affects and influences the body and its actions and reactions and choices. That's what happens with our mind. It has an effect on our life. The power of thoughts that pass through the mind is responsible for the things that happen in our life. Choices. Now, as I go about my life, and maybe my mind is affected in a negative way, and we would call that an attack of the devil. Have you ever felt the enemy attack you in your mind? And maybe you entertain the thoughts for a while, and then all of a sudden you realize and you, wait a minute, that's not of God. And the scripture says that I am to resist the devil and he will flee. And we apply that to our mind first. And the mind, see, the mind is affected by what I see and what I hear. It's affected by everything around me. And when I, and then I think of the word of the Lord. Let's talk about hearing just a little bit. What do you hear? There's a lot of things to listen to in our world. I used to listen to the news all the time. I used to listen to talk shows years ago. Those kind of things affect us. It influences how we feel, especially about political things now. And we've all talked about this. This has been said in our services, and we found out that it would be best to not listen to those things because it stirred something in me. Haven't we all come to that place? And we hardly like to listen to the news now because it does something to us. It's bad news. And it affects us. But let me tell you, there is a hearing that can help your mind. And the scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we come together and we hear this kind of preaching, it can have a positive effect on our mind that then will have a positive effect on my spirit and on my soul. They are intertwined, and my mind is going to affect my choices of living for God. Thank the Lord. The mind influences behavior and attitude. It's in your mind. And then another thing said, choosing to accept God and obeying His commandments or to reject and rebel starts in the mind. Oh, do you see how important it is that we be fully conscious of our mind and the thoughts that come through our mind? Amen. We need to be conscious. There's a scripture in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 23, and it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Verse 25 of that chapter. "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee." There's a reason. This is in the word of the Lord because it affects my mind. Verse 26. "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." You know, I don't think it does damage to the scripture if I changed that and said, "Keep thy mind with all diligence." It's not that the issues of life come out of the mind, because it does come from the heart, but the mind affects my heart, the choices that I make. And it goes on and it says, "Let thine eyes look right on." Why would there be a scripture like that? You know, I've not been, I've had very little contact with horses. Maybe some of you have and some of you haven't. But I remember as a child going out to my aunt and uncle's farm, and they had a horse that was so gentle that the children could ride that horse, and I rode that horse. And if it was a working horse, do you know what they did? They put blinders like this, where they were looking straight ahead. They didn't want the horse to be distracted and run away. Well, I had a horse run away with me one time, and I don't really care about getting on a horse again after that. But God is wanting us to be like the horse. He wants us to look straight ahead. Have spiritual blinders. There are a lot of things in this world for you and me to look at. There are things that we need to always turn away from. As soon as we see the evil of the impact that it will have on my mind, it will begin. Did you know, and you know this, what we see forms pictures in our mind, and we can recall those pictures? You know that, don't you? Guard your eyes. One scripture says for us to make a covenant with our eyes. And this is why. It will affect our minds, which will then affect my heart, my soul, my spirit. It will influence it. Do you see the danger? Do you see the warning? Oh, I know this isn't a popular message. I know that it's not something that you'll go away, oh, wasn't that a wonderful message? And, oh, I'm so encouraged. God wants us to be encouraged to do the right, to guard our mind and to guard our eyes and to guard our ears. You know, there used to be, and probably some of the older ones, here in Oklahoma City, there was a big billboard that was animated. You remember that? I think it was down on Western, and I can't remember the other street. But that was when I was a little girl, and it's because we passed by this when we would visit relatives. And there were three monkeys, and they motions. And one said, "See no evil," went over the eyes. "Hear no evil," it went over the ears. "Speak no evil," and it went over the mouth. You know, that's what the Lord is saying to us today. Take care of your mind. It will take care of your soul. Resist the devil. So things that we see and hear can affect our eternal destiny through the mind. So in closing, I'm just going to give I'm going to call them our weapons of warfare. They're not new, but we need to be reminded. The scripture says we need to first have a willing mind. What does that mean? We need to want our mind, a willing mind, to seek after the right things and to resist the wrong things, and that God gives us the power to govern our mind. As soon as there is something that affects your mind, resist it. Can you do that? He says we can. So first, we have to have a willing mind. There is a scripture that also says, keep thy mind. No, that's not the scripture. I'm quoting a different scripture. I'm sorry. What we do when we have a willing mind, and it comes down to the other scripture of what we seek for first. What do we first seek for? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will help us control our mind and our spirit and our soul and our heart. So I wrote this down like this. It is giving our best effort to seek God's mind and God's will and God's wisdom. That's where we'll be able to have right thoughts, right feelings, right judgments, right perceptions, whatever we read over there that happens in the mind. When we seek the things that are above and not the things of the earth, it will affect positively our choices. One of the other little weapons of warfare I have is casting down imaginations. Remember, we said something that happens in the mind is imaginations. We can have imaginations, and the word of the Lord knows that, and so the scriptures gave us something to consider. Cast down imaginations. And it said, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The negative things of the world will try to exalt itself against God in our mind. And it goes on and it says, bring into captivity every thought. That takes effort. That takes discipline. That takes you desiring that and laying your hand on that and pursuing that and bringing every thought into captivity. Recently, I was having a lot of trouble sleeping one night, and my mind would not shut down. Anybody ever have that? When your mind won't shut down at night, you can't go to sleep. And it may not be evil. It may just be troubling. But we can have some bad thoughts in the night. And you know what scripture came to my mind? And I used it. And you have to sometimes use it over and over. You can't just do it one time and hope it works, because the enemy will be there to repeat it. It's that scripture that said, and I think it says, whatsoever things are true. I can't remember. You know, I was going to get that scripture and I was going to memorize it. It'd be good for us to memorize that verse. Philippians 4:8, it says, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest. And you question it. And as I was, I mean, it wasn't a bad thing, but it wasn't true. It didn't pass the first test. Take the word of the Lord and put it to the test. If it's not true, put it out of your mind. Resist it. And I believe it goes on and it says that whatsoever things are honest and or just and pure and lovely and a good report. And it even said if there's any virtue or if there's any praise, that's what we're to think on. And that's one of our weapons that will help us overcome our mind. So when we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and then this one we might not always think about, is to have a readiness to revenge all disobedience. And then we have one more. It says, be not conformed to this world. And it's the next part. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how are you renewed in your mind? You ask for it. You pray for it. You seek for it. You call out to the Lord. And I do it. Lord, renew my mind. Renew my spirit. David said, renew a right spirit in me. And God will hear. And he will help you. And you can be renewed, revisited. God will do it. Thank the Lord. So we need a renewing of our mind. And there's a reason that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Those are things we need in our mind. Thank the Lord. Final scripture says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So the Lord is able to help us in our mind, which will in turn affect us in our soul, in our heart, in our life, in our choices, that we will choose life and that we will choose living for God and not rebelling against God. See? Do you see how important our mind is? God gave us a mind. When He created us, He gave us a mind. But He gave us a lot of other things too. He gave us a will. Pray for me. I want my mind to be on the things of God and not on the things of the earth. Amen.